Blog Talk Radio.
Spirit of Truth Ministry is delighted to bring you the Revelation of Jesus with Rick Sterling, where we test the beliefs of Christianity against the very words of Jesus that he gave his own eyewitness disciples. Join us for a unique and challenging study into truth, justice, and the kingdom of heaven. Hello and welcome, everyone. My name is Dennis Neufeld, and I am here with our Spirit of Truth Ministry research staff getting ready to have another study, which is entitled The Revelation of Jesus with Rick Sterling. And apropos to that, Rick Sterling is sitting right across from me. And today is June 8, 2019, and we're delighted that you've taken a few minutes out of your busy day to join us for our study. It is interesting. We've been looking at some of the stats, and we are over the past month, our the amount of and number of downloads has started increasing rapidly. And just for instance, just yesterday, we had 44 downloads from our Blog Talk Radio podcast site. So we thank you for that, and we encourage you to keep going with it. We have had a actually a spectacular last month of programs, and I think that's probably why we're getting this uptick. We do not have a chat room today. Apparently, Blog Talk Radio has not solved their chat room issue, and so I'm just going to have to remember to give you our websites just before we leave. So make sure you have a piece of paper and a pen handy, because just before we close out today, I will give you our information. Let's have prayer, and we will get started with our study. Father in heaven, Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit, we honor your names, and we are blessed by our association with you. I pray, Father, that today you will continue to show us how to study, that you will continue to reveal the method whereby we can learn the truth and know that it is the truth. Thank you, Father, for putting in our minds the desire and the drive to move forward as we participate in the words of Jesus, as we participate through the Holy Spirit, and grant us peace as we do so. I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Good morning, Dr. Don.
Good morning.
And good morning, Michael.
Good morning.
And Larry. And Rick. Nice to see all of you today.
Do you feel something in the air? Does it seem like the earth, the atmosphere is different?
Nope.
Do you look around and question why countries are behaving the way they are for the first time? People of the countries have had enough of the strict controls that have been placed on them by the bureaucratic leadership. In England, They showed in no uncertain terms that they were done with the EU. Where the Brexit Party, that wasn't even a party ever, that was started in early May, has now become the majority party. Why? Because the people of England were fed up with the tightly controlled life they were being forced into by the leadership that they had not voted for. In Italy and in France, in Hungary, all across Europe, people are fed up with lies. And here in the United States, same thing happens. People are fed up with lies. Because they understand that the liars are, their only purpose is control. Control of the thoughts of the people, control of the money, control of the wealth, control of travel, control of food,
the land,
control of the air. They want to control everything. And the people were kind of going along with it. Kind of, the people were going along with it. I don't know if you watch the 75th anniversary what would you call it, commemoration.
Yeah.
On this past Thursday, where if I remember correctly, there were 150 veterans there from the United States who had actually been in the war on D-Day. And the speech that the President of the United States delivered and recognizing those men and the women and the ones that Most of the ones that were there are no longer alive. Why was that war fought? And what about World War I? Were those soldiers any less deserving of praise and honor? What about the Civil War? And does it take a war in order to have heroes? Truth and lies. The wars that have been fought were wars to maintain lies. We say, well, we fought World War II to remove an evil dictator. And they did. Or did they? There's a lot of evidence that the evil dictator escaped, went to South America. But how would you know? Well, you would know if you had the truth. But the truth has been buried. Those who control the people control the narrative. If you want to find the truth, it is there. It is very difficult to find, but it is there. And when you find the truth, you will find that it is nothing like what you have been told or what you have been taught.
We've been talking in the show prep period here about the methods that we use to find truth. And I just thought I would remind people of our original website at spiritoftruthministry.net/SM. You can go to must read and you can look up a paper called The 7 Rules for Prophetic Interpretation. Those go a long way to defining how it is that we come to the conclusions to which we come.
Truth. God, Elohim, the true God, the gods, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, are heavenly beings that are not just ordinary beings. They are divine. They are God. One of them is here on earth with us.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit. She left her home. So that she would be here to help teach and guide and comfort those who are dedicated, who have a commitment to learn the truth, the whole truth, and absolutely nothing but the truth. There are other heavenly beings here that no longer have access to the heaven. They are here on earth, and they are hell-bent to ensure that no one will find the truth. They can't allow that to happen because those who find the truth see these frauds as what they truly are. They are evil. They are wicked. They don't have our best interests at heart. They want control. They control the narrative. They control the authorities. They control the kingdom of the world and everyone and everything in it. Oh, they have done this for a very, very long time. They are experts at it. You see, they get the people to believe a lie. I mean, really believe a lie. So that lie becomes a part of their thought processes. It actually becomes a part of them. To expose a lie would be to expose that individual or those people as liars who believe in a lie. And who wants to be exposed? Who wants to be shown that they are believing something that has no root in truth? But everyone they know believes similarly. Many believe that God will cut them slack if they just live up to their moral principles as they have determined them. You know, the devil can live like a saint. He knows how. He can live like a saint, but it's nothing more than a facade. His robe of righteousness will cover up his evil, but it will not remove his evil. He can appear as the divine savior, or as a wicked devil, depending upon what your expectation is and how you see, what you want to see. If you want to see a kind, loving Savior, he'll be that for you. As long as you believe his lies, he doesn't care how he appears to you. We were talking this morning about reverse engineering. In fact, Dennis wrote the preamble to this program and talked about this. Reverse engineering. Reading something in reverse. Well, not literally, but spiritually. Scientists have had access to information that they didn't understand, like the solar system, the Milky Way, the galaxies in space, planets, moons, the dynamics of the orbits, and the dynamics of the sun. They studied the properties. They knew the sun was shining, and they knew the sun, they eventually figured out that the sun was not orbiting the Earth. But the sun had many mysteries. What I am saying is that what we are told, we must not just blindly accept as the truth. We are accountable to God for knowing the truth. He has given us access to the truth. He has preserved the truth and he has made it understandable, but you need to study. It's like the person that I was talking about yesterday who had prayed and said that God had told her she would pass the test. we told her that she wasn't prepared to pass the test. But she believed the voice she heard and not those who knew better. So she took the test and she failed. What is the truth in that situation? And what is the lie? God not only wants us to know the truth, He wants us to live the truth and to help others find their way to the truth. And as I've said before, and I say again, what you know now, what you believe now, what you practice now is not the truth. Any more than what any country was being told by their leaders for the last, in Europe, it's been going on for a very long time. In this country, for the last 200 years. The devil does not want you to believe the truth, so he makes the truth ridiculous, or seemingly so. The Son of God, the one person who no one should have questioned whether he knew the truth or not, the one person who demonstrated with signs and wonders that testified to the fact that what he was saying about himself was absolutely true, and that they needed to listen. They needed to change what they held to be true, because it was nothing but lies. They needed to learn from him, but they refused. Not only did they refuse, but they saw him as a threat to their authority, their control, their honor, and their prestige. And as long as he kept working miracles and exposing them as liars every time he spoke, he was their mortal enemy, and they knew someone was going to die, and it wasn't going to be them. And if they didn't put him to death to shut him up and to show everybody the fraud that he was, they were going to lose control, and they would be out of office, and they would be seen as traitors, liars, guilty of treason, a capital crime. Why is it that the testimony of the Son of God has no place in those institutions that purport to follow him, that to purport to believe in his words, and yet they have preferred the lie over the truth? Sin is wickedness. Wickedness is sin. lies are sin. Lies are wickedness. If you believe a lie, and you practice a lie, and you tell others the lie, you spread the lie out, and you say, this is God's words to us. This is what God says to us, and it is a lie. What are you doing? The Son of God was challenged, basically on a daily basis, by the religious authorities who followed him, dogged him continuously. And they would point out to the people, he was the liar. He was going against Moses. And what did the people know? You know, I've read about John the Baptist. John the Baptist was the forerunner, the one prophesied, the Elijah-type prophet who was to come, who was to make straight ways, make straight the way for the Son of God. He was to prepare the people to receive the truth when the Son of God appeared to testify to the truth. You would have to say he failed. I mean, what else can you say? Oh, he was dedicated. He had a purpose. He gave up everything to fulfill his mission. But what happened? He didn't know who he was. Other than a voice crying in the wilderness. He didn't know who he was. And how can someone who doesn't know who they are or what they're supposed to be doing, how can they, before they have the truth, help others find the truth? You say, well, wait a minute. John the Baptist had to have the truth. He was dedicated. He'd given up everything. He was living in the wilderness with a garment of camel hair, and he was eating grasshoppers and baptizing, saying, repent and be baptized. Because the end is here. Repent and be baptized because the end is here. And he was, by all accounts, extremely successful. The people believed him to be a prophet. And the religious authorities, who didn't agree with him at all, were afraid to do anything to him because the people believed that he was a prophet and they didn't want to upset the people and cause a riot. I think there's been many who have wondered, why wasn't John the Baptist one of the disciples? Why wasn't he one of the 12? He was the one preparing the way. He was the one to make the way straight. Why, when the Son of God came, didn't he say to John the Baptist after his baptism, come follow me? But he didn't. John the Baptist went on baptizing. And then he was arrested and put in prison. Shortly after that, you know the account. John the Baptist himself was wondering why he wasn't one of the disciples and why he was in prison and why the Messiah had not declared himself king. You know, we're here today, and we wonder why the Messiah has not come yet. Why hasn't he come? Isn't the world bad enough? Wicked enough? It's been wicked for a long time, but what is wickedness?
Unrighteousness.
What is sin? Do you know that if sin and wickedness get bad enough that it necessitates God's intervention, you've got his authority that he states for destroying the world with a flood. Now, the Son of God does say that the world will be in a situation like that, as it was in the days of Noah. How many righteous people were there in the days of Noah on earth?
One.
One.
Right, Don.
And what was Noah doing? Was he delivering his testimony to the world that they were all a bunch of sinners and they needed to get themselves right with God and straighten their ways because God was going to destroy them all with a flood if they didn't?
Not according to Jesus.
Insert something here. That's the typical belief. Noah was out there pleading and preaching and pleading. Dennis, you can give us the text, Matthew 24, whatever verse.
Does God lie?
And it says, nobody, when the flood came, nobody knew.
Does God lie?
No.
Why did God say he was sending the flood? Because the hearts, the intellect of everyone on earth was so hardened that the door was locked and barred to the truth.
Wow.
Matthew 24:36.
So tell me, if God says that no one on earth would receive the truth even if they had the opportunity to receive it, why would he have Noah trying to prove him a liar?
Matthew 24:36-38. But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father alone. For the coming of the Son of Man will be just like the days of Noah. For as in those days before the flood they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and they did not understand until the flood came and took them all away. So will the coming of the Son of Man be.
What is God waiting for?
A righteous kingdom.
And why does he need a righteous kingdom?
To give him the right to come here.
That's exactly right, Dr. Don. Because it gives him the legal right to restore this world, righteousness to
Correct.
This world. It gives him the legal right. But it has to happen apart from his direct intervention. So what I mean is that God is not going to say, okay, I like all the people with blue eyes. So all the people with blue eyes,
I'm going to totally overturn their intellects. And all of a sudden, they're going to wake up in the morning and they're going to go, I never knew that before. I'm a whole different person.
Now I get
what
it.
What I understand. How did that happen?
I can hear the devil now screaming, foul. I object. That is illegal. That is theft. God needs people to recognize the truth, to learn the truth, and to obey the truth, and then they are righteous. His son demonstrated that it could be done. His son said that he did nothing but that he had learned it from his father. He was teaching everything he had learned from his father, who is the absolute source of truth. Why does he talk about fountain of living water?
Because it keeps flowing.
I don't know if I can turn to it immediately, but he talks about those. He is likening himself to the source of living water. He says, you know, I have living water. He told the woman at the well, I would give you living water. And bread, the bread of life. Turn to John chapter 7. Let's start with verse 40. Several people who had been listening said, surely he must be a prophet. And some said, he is the anointed one. But others said, would the anointed one be from Galilee? Now, who are the others who would say this? Well, we'll find out. When he said, still others said, would the anointed one be from Galilee? What is that? Is that, no. Is that kind of planting a seed of doubt?
Yes.
Seed of doubt? Trying to take control of the narrative? Does not Scripture say, and here it is, This is confirming. Doesn't Scripture say that the anointed one must be descended from David and come from the town of Bethlehem? That's not one of the people. That's one of the religious authorities. Because the people wouldn't be quoting prophecy.
There was fake news even then.
So the people could not agree about him. Some would have liked to have arrested him. But no one actually laid hands on him. The police went back to the chief priests and Pharisees, who said to them, why haven't you brought him? The police replied, there has never been anybody who has spoken like him. So the Pharisees answered, you have been led astray as well? Led astray. Oh, I know how that is. I know how that is. How many religious authorities have warned the people against
being led astray?
By
see,
someone I'm familiar with.
See, if you tell someone to not be led astray, this implies that you won't do that. Unfortunately, these people believed wholeheartedly that they could not lead anyone astray.
Let me again say, this ties in with what I was talking about yesterday. Can you be led astray from the truth by the word of God?
No. Now, you can be led astray by words that are masquerading as the word of God, or that you have been told are the word of God but aren't.
Well, let's say these are the religious leaders, chief priests and Pharisees. These are the they are the elite religious theologians
and the authorities.
They control the narrative. Their fathers control the narrative. Their fathers control this whole narrative, have been controlled for many, many generations. So anything new that comes is going to come up against this narrative.
And they are the ones that are going to have to make the determination as to whether that new narrative is true or not.
The temple police noticed something about what this man was saying that resonated. And I'm telling you, the truth will always have a certain resonance of truth if you listen, just like the temple police. The truth can only lead you astray when what you believe, what I should say is, the truth can only lead you away from what you already believe if what you already believe is a lie. A truth will not lead you away from the truth. It can't. It can only lead you away from lies. We know the chief priests and the Pharisees and that whole temple establishment had so thoroughly indoctrinated the people with lies that when the truth came from heaven and delivered the testimony to the people, and the people felt that resonance that truth has, it was a huge threat to the religious establishment. The truth always is. And the same thing is happening today. You cannot say, well, my pastor is a wonderful person, and they deliver the word of God, and I just feel this overpowering love for God. I feel his presence when my pastor speaks. It can't be a lie. So you say, does your pastor uphold the testimony of Paul? Oh, yes. My pastor preaches Paul every week. And it's so wonderful and so loving and presents God as this divine being who loves me and can't see anything else but love. What does the truth have to say about that? So the Pharisees answered, have you been led astray as well? Have any of the authorities believed in him?
There's your proof. There's your proof.
I've had some people say, well, you know, if you could get a pastor to see it, if you could get my pastor to see what you're saying, then I might consider it. Well, right here, same thing happened when the Son of God was here testifying to the truth. They offered as proof that he was a liar was that none of the authorities had believed him at all. Any of the Pharisees? This rabble knows nothing about the law. Huh. Well, there you go. So if you want to know where the truth is, you've got to go to the religious experts, because anybody who does not have that credential, that authority, is lying to you. And if you believe them, you are being misled. They have a spell over you. This rabble knows nothing about the law. Why? That's true. But neither do they. They have so manipulated the law, but they've done it so that they can control the minds and the actions of the people.
With first century deplorables.
Yes. Yeah, that's what I was thinking. This rabble knows nothing about the law. They are damned. One of them, Nicodemus, the same man who had come to Jesus earlier, said to them, but surely the law does not allow us to pass judgment on a man without giving him a hearing and discovering what he is about. Did Nicodemus know what he was about? Was Nicodemus trying to cool the heat of the moment? To this, they answered, are you a Galilean too? Go into the matter. See for yourself. Prophets do not come out of Galilee. Well, it depends on whether you have limited your scope to only the prophecies that talked about prophets coming from Galilee and hadn't looked at the other prophecies talking about Nazareth, which was
in Galilee.
Right.
And again, it is, today we would call it selective reporting.
And let me say this.
A statement of fake news.
When you need to control the narrative, you need to control the truth. And what I mean by that is, you need to control the truth by not, first of all, you say that it's a lie, you back it up with selective evidence, and you can control those who don't know any better.
And you know, it's interesting, Rick, because what we've discovered in our research, especially into Paul and how his words compare to the words of Jesus, if you include Paul as a true source, like most Christians do, in the Bible, if you include him, you can prove anything. Because you can go to him and prove one thing, you can go to Jesus and prove another, and it doesn't matter what it is. you can prove any theology, which is why, how many different Christian denominations are there now? A couple of thousand? Jesus in John 17 spoke of unity and the unity that comes through
being one with him and
being
one
with
the
Father.
That's
right.
It.
And doing that through the power of the Holy Spirit. How is that? Are we seeing that today?
How does he get in you?
Right.
And how does he get in me?
And if it's not the same way, it's not the same God.
It's because when you eat the spiritual food that is truth, then the truth is in you. And when the truth is in you and the truth is in the Son of God and the truth is in God, the Father and the Holy Spirit, then what is in them is in you. And what is in you is in them. And you are one, unified by the truth. That's the only way you become one with them. I'm sure that many of these religious experts were around when the wise men showed up at the palace. In fact, some of them might have even been the ones who took the report back to Herod saying, Bethlehem is where the Messiah will be born. All they have to do is stop and think. These guys came from a long way away following a star. And the star brought them here and said that the king has been born according to the prophecies. So they go and they Bethlehem. So they send them off to Bethlehem. Herod says, come back and tell me so I can go over there and I can honor him too. Some of the same ones, I'm sure, were there. So I wonder if they were wondering, when is the Messiah going to show up, the one that was born, the King of the Jews, that the wise men followed a star, and they went, how else would you explain wise men showing up to honor the king, and they're saying, okay, well, he's in Bethlehem, so they go to Bethlehem, they never see him again.
And one of the things, too, is that prophecy about Bethlehem says that that is where he is born. It says nothing about where he is reared.
Well, it says he goes to Egypt.
He goes to Egypt first, and then they come back and they settle in Nazareth.
They all went home. And Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Now let's go down because we're running out of time. Verse 12.
Eight?
Chapter 8, verse 12. When Jesus spoke to the people again, he said, I am the light of the world. Anyone who follows me will not be walking in the dark. He will have the light of life.
Before we go on, people will tell you that when Jesus spoke that, he was actually speaking of the Bible. He was speaking of the Word of God. And even the Pharisees, if you look at the response of the Pharisees in the next verse, even they knew he was talking about himself alone.
The Pharisees knew that he was who he said he was. They knew that. But they could not allow that. They could not say that. I mean, why did Nicodemus come in the middle of the night and say, we know you're one from God. We know. He didn't say, I know. We know. They're trying to figure out how they're going to resolve this problem.
Which had to do with control, right?
which had to do with control. Because they knew that if he took control, they were out. They were done for. Just like John the Baptist was saying, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath?" At this, the Pharisee said to him, "You are testifying on your own behalf. Your testimony is not valid." "Oh, they're all tangled up with the law, let me tell you." Have you noticed how those who live and die by the lie can so cleverly spin words and phrases to conform to what they believe?
To suit the situation.
"It is true that I am testifying on my own behalf, but my testimony is still valid because I know where I come from and where I am going. But you do not know where I come from or where I'm going." See, they had just said he came from Galilee. But he didn't. Where did he come from? He came from heaven, where their God lives and dwells. That's where he came from. "You judge by human standards. I judge no one. But if I judge, my judgment will be sound, because I am not alone. The one who sent me is with me. And in your law it is written that the testimony of two witnesses is valid. I may be testifying on my own behalf, but the Father who sent me is my witness too." They asked him, "Where is your Father?" Jesus answered, "You do not know me, nor do you know my Father. If you did know me, you would know my Father as well." He spoke these words in the treasury while teaching in the temple. No one arrested him because his time had not yet come. And I want to say a couple things about time in the last couple minutes that we have. Time. Why was there a time? Why couldn't he just die and get it over with? Why was there a time? Why was time so important?
Because it takes time to tell the truth.
The faithful and wise bondservant is giving his fellow bondservants their food at the
proper
time is the set time.
The set time.
The set time. Time. And what if that servant is doing the feeding when his master returns? He's put over all of God's possessions. But if he has decided that the time is not right, that he's waited too long, time is going to be farther in the future, he is judged on that moment and has lost eternal life forever.
Thank you, Rick. I want to remind our listeners that our websites are as follows: spiritoftruthministry.net. There you will find our book, The Spirit of the Church, and a whole bunch of writing by Rick, including The Grand Plan, which is one of the most complete writings about salvation that you will ever read. We also have our original website at spiritoftruthministry.net/SM, and there you will find all sorts of other writing by the rest of us, including Rick too. On behalf of Spirit of Truth Ministry, this is Dennis welcoming you to join us next week at 10 a.m. on Sabbath, and a week from Friday for another edition, this coming Friday, for another edition of the Bible on Trial.